intention of welcoming back people to a school, to a church, sometimes other places. And so we've called that homecoming. It's a time of remembering, a time of rich traditions, a time of reconnecting, a time of reconciliation, a time of rousing celebration. And in Greensboro, you know, I didn't go to A&T, but we have had connections with A&T over the years. When I first started my business, I taught for a while at A&T. Our company does business with them. We're a vendor with them. And this year, our niece goes to school there in engineering school. So she's there with an A&T. And our nephew, a great friend of our family, his son, you've seen him here at church. He used to be in the drum line, but now he's one of the drum majors. So he inspired me. And they call Jiho the greatest homecoming on earth. Now, some may, you know, argue or beg to differ with that, but Jiho, whether you know it or not, it has a $9 to $12 million impact on Greensboro in 1 week. So that's important for everybody, right? And look, if you haven't participated, participate. When in Rome, do as the... Okay, all right. So we're going to talk about homecoming because everybody can relate to homecoming. People are different. Some people, and raise your hand on this, some people never want to go to a homecoming somewhere. Raise your hand if you're in that category. A few in that. Some people always want to go to homecoming. Okay. Look, my wife is one of those people. She's gone back to every reunion, every homecoming. I think she's only missed one in high school. That's it. I think you were pregnant with our youngest daughter then. I mean, our oldest daughter or something like that. But she goes to all of them. I'm somewhere in the middle, but homecoming has a special meaning to me because my wife and I dated in college for a little bit. And then we went our separate ways. You know, I got impatient, and she had to hear from God. So after a bunch of stuff happened, which I'll talk about some of that stuff that happened in the between that wasn't good. But I called her, and it was the weekend before homecoming. And I said, look, let's meet up at homecoming. She was a friend of mine in school, so let's meet up at homecoming. Because we had all these plans to meet up with different friends and things like that during homecoming. And so we had these plans. Well, none of those friends saw us during homecoming because we end up reconnecting and having such a good time. That's the only football game that I didn't really look at the score. I was a sports nut. But I was talking about scoring in other way. So wait a minute. Y'all, I didn't mean it like that. So me and my wife reconnected and had our second first date at homecoming at Georgia Tech. And so a year and a half later or so, we were married. And that was 30 years ago, so homecoming has a good meaning for me. So the problem is, though, a lot of us don't want to go back to homecoming or don't want to go home. And it's some problems with that because we're using homecoming as an analogy. But it's some things we need to think about homecoming. And we're going to use a story here that Jesus told in the Bible. And I believe it's really a true story because when he tells a parable, he prefaces it different. And sometimes he says there a certain man or there was a man. And I believe when he says that, it may have been a real occurrence, you know. So this is the story we call the lost son, or a lot of times we call the story the prodigal son. Okay, now what I need you to do, I'm just prefacing everything, because it's a familiar story, you Bible scholars don't just turn it off. Oh, I already know this. Because then you'll forfeit learning something new, right? So let's dig in. And the other thing I don't want you to do, I don't want you to say, well, I wish so-and-so would have heard this. She would have really benefited from that story. I wish my child would have heard that. No, don't do that. Do that. You receive it for yourself. Let's see what we can see ourselves in the story. So it's the story of the lost son. So we'll start reading in Luke 15, 11 through 13. Then he said, there was once a man who had two sons. Notice he didn't say, you know, that's how he prefaced it. He said there was once a man, so it's probably a true story. He said, the younger said to his father, now notice this, he's talking about the younger son, because everything that Jesus says has many. He said, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. Notice he said he wanted it right now, and he wanted what's coming to me. Now, anybody who has children in this generation, they call them Gen Zs, wanting what's coming to me is entitlement. And this is a generation, God, I love them, but they have some entitlement. You know, our parents and grandfather's generation was glad to be able to sit in a restaurant. They were glad just to go because they used to have to get on the side, get the food on the side or come in the back for some of us, right? Our parents' generation felt thankful for going to restaurants. You know, they maybe didn't go like us every four nights a week, but they felt thankful for going to restaurants. We enjoy going to restaurants. In our generation, our children expect to go to the restaurant and get anything they want. You want the lobster? Where you working now? I thought you went to school. No, it's entitlement, and you can see that in what he said. So the father divided the property between them. You know, sometimes God will give you some things you're not even ready for yet. But he loves you, and sometimes he does this. So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son, both of them got some money now, but the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. Now, I want you to notice something. He didn't say he said goodbye to his father and he was sorry to leave his brother. He said he got up. He was like, peace out. You sure this credit card full? Okay, I'm good. See y'all. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had after he had gone through all this money, and we'll stop it right there. So this is the story. So he left home, and I can say there's nothing wrong with leaving home if you're going somewhere instead of getting away from something. You know, we have kids that have gone somewhere, but they're gone to fulfill their destinies, you know. Bobby went to Arizona to see one of his sons and went down to South Carolina to help the other son because they were going somewhere. why do people go away? Sometimes inform why they don't feel comfortable coming back. And so, you know, sometimes people go away because they're not who they thought they were going to be. They feel like nobody understands them or cares. They feel like it's nothing to do or nowhere to go at home. Okay? But Let's go to that scripture in Romans. In the Passion Translation, okay? It says, for out of him, talking about God, the sustainer of everything. Remember, God is the sustainer of everything. Not just a few things, not just the things you can't handle, but he is the sustainer of everything. Okay? And young people, I want you to look up from your phones for a minute. I know some of y'all are looking at your phones, and that's our fault because that's how we raise you. Here, just look at that while I'm doing this. I love technology, but sometimes I think we went too far. Because remember, Facebook friends may not be your real friend. Okay, let's be real here. So in Romans it says, for out of him, talking about God, the sustainer of everything, came everything, and now everything finds fulfillment in him. Not some things, everything, not just the church things. It says everything finds its fulfillment in God. So all of us need to come home. Look at your neighbor and say, come home. Because everything finds its fulfillment. You know, it's things you think you can handle, so you don't invite the Lord in that. I was like that. I had periods of time that I was like that. Lord, you handle the hard stuff. I got this. You know, but everything finds its fulfillment in God. So when we're talking about coming home, ultimately, we all need to come home and get closer to God. So let's go on. The prodigal son, or the lost son, as it's called, he wanted to find himself. But he was searching in all the wrong places. He wanted to find himself. Now, let me just tell you, you can't find yourself inside of yourself or outside of yourself. The only way you can find yourself, you know, you ever gone to use the GPS on your phone? You find yourself by going to the authority of the maps or the ways that you're going, right? You find yourself with that. And how we can find ourselves is our GPS, our God positioning system. The only way you can really find yourself is talk to the maker, the guy who made you. Then you can find yourself. This church is called Destiny, and we want to fulfill our destiny, but you can't fulfill your destiny outside of God. And you need him for everything. So Matthew says something, and I don't even think I have the scripture written down, but it's appropriate here. He says, he who finds his life must lose it first. You got to lose your life in Jesus before you find your life in yourself. See, sometimes we're so busy finding our own life that we skip past the one who gave us life. We need to find ourselves in him. So let's look what this guy did in finding himself. And I want to point out a couple of things in that scripture. So I want to go back to it. And the man who... the father divided up the property between them. And first of all, yeah, go back to that scripture in Luke, if you were Luke 15, the Message version. And I want to, let's go all the way back to 15 and 11. And it talks about the man, and remember, it was a younger son. So one thing we see, that he was probably immature. He had unrecognized immaturity. I say unrecognized because when you're immature, you don't know that you're immature. Yeah, I thought I knew everything. Till I got about 28, 29, and life started kicking me, then I realized my parents, they actually know something. Young people, you can skip that step. Your parents, older people, actually know something. We used to tell our girls, you can learn by listening or you can learn by feeling. It's a lot easier to learn by listening. You don't want to have to feel that. We're trying to keep you from feeling it. So the one thing we see that the son was immature, and that's one of the things that can keep us from going home and can keep us from, make us want to leave home, immaturity. And I can tell you about a time that I was immature, one of the worst times in my life. After I got out of college, I met a young lady, and she had some things going on in her life, and the devil knows that I got a hero complex. Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to rescue you. Don't worry, ma'am. Step back. I got this. So it went further than I thought, and I introduced him to my parents, and my mom is real nice like she is. My daddy was nice, but he, you know, later on pulled me aside. He said, I don't know if this is the one for you. She cute and all, but, you know, when your daddy tells you she cute and all, but, there's some good stuff coming after that. And so he told me those things, but how many know you can tell a man in love, but you can't tell him much? You can't tell him that much. So I thought I knew everything. And, you know, within a short period of time, we were having problems. This is not my wife here. This was the first attempt. First failed attempt. And I'm not trying to make light of it. You know, I think if you're married and you have problems, you ought to try to work it out. But I can tell you from experience, if both of you are not trying to work it out, it's going to be really difficult. Because I was trying to work it out, and she was trying to get out. So I had, you know, I grew up Catholic, and so nobody I knew was divorced at that time. We didn't have any. It was one lady in our church was divorced, and it was like she had the scarlet letter. It was like, ooh, that's her. You know. I mean, they're great people, but like they don't believe in divorce. You know? So, and my mom and dad had such a great marriage that they made it look easy. They fooled me. That's what I told Josh. After he got married, the first thing I told him when I saw him afterwards was, Josh, don't make a mistake and think what your mom and dad did was easy. It's not easy. You got to go through it. Our kids think what we got and what we did was easy. They didn't know it took some work to get to that point. And you're trying to get there right now. So, anyway, I was in this situation. I was hurt up. You know, I was bad. Pastor Joe was not the guy you see right now. And I was trying to figure out, how can I kill her without anybody knowing? I'm smart. I'm sorry, you know, just going to be open and honest here. And so I was really hurt. I hadn't even, after we were separated for a while, I hadn't even told my parents. I hadn't even told them. I told them on Thanksgiving when the same girl had welcomed me over her house and her family had. You know how when you get separated from somebody, their whole family want to be separated. You know, y'all, I still like to eat Thanksgiving dinner. I can still come over. I won't say nothing to her, but I could get some turkey. No, that Thanksgiving, I had a turkey sandwich. My mom and them called, what, you know, because we from the South. We tell her, what you eat today? I said, I had turkey, That conversation was real short. So finally, I told him what had happened was. And I was talking to my dad, and I just thought my dad's going to tell me, "I told you so." You know, I told, in a nice way, though. I thought he was going to say, "I told you so." So I called him, and I was filled with emotion, and I knew I had to deal with my dad first. I didn't want him standing on the side. What are you saying? Tell me, or give me the phone. What is he saying? So I told my dad, I don't even know if we can put this back together. I don't know if it's going to work. I have tried two murdering attempts. No, I didn't say. I didn't succeed with that. So, Dad, you know, this is what, and I really thought, you know, and my dad looked at me and said two words. He said, "Come home." He said, "Let's go fishing." And so me and my dad, I went home, and he didn't get on my case. He just loved on me and talked to me. I was a little boy again on the fishing bank with my dad. And then I start putting it back together. I start, you know, spending time with the Lord and getting serious about this thing. It's easy when ain't nothing happening, y'all. If you ain't been through nothing, yeah, it's all good. But when you go through something, then you know you need the Lord. You know all everything was fulfilled in Him. And I start, I mean, you know, in this time period, that's when I gained a lot of weight, you know, because the bad thing about me, when I'm depressed and sad, I eat, you know. That's the bad thing. When I celebrate, though, I eat too, though. See, that's, it's something, you know, something is wrong there. But at that time, I ate without feeling like exercising, so. Okay, so that's what happened. And so I went through all of that, and Dad told me to come home. Look at your neighbor and say, "Come home." He was immature. And the next thing it said, he said he wanted it all. I want it all. I want it, Dad. And sometimes we have unhealthy desires. We have desires. You know, God wants us to have the best, live in the best, do the best, but sometimes our desires are unhealthy, what we want. And a loving father, if you're worried about God not giving you something you want, he might just be waiting for you to get ready for that. You know, you might not be ready. So get your heart ready. Spend time, look to his face and not his hand. Look to him, get closer to him. And so sometimes when you want it all, you know, in Philippians 4 and 10, Paul talks about knowing how to be content. I'm not talking about just satisfying. Philippians 4, 10 through 13 in the message. I'm not talking about just being satisfied and don't want nothing out of life. I'm talking about wanting things out of life. But when you're in situations that are hard, you're not tore down. Said, I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again, well, and then he said, I want to go down. Okay, go to the next verse. I want to skip to the chase. He says, I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I've learned how to be content, whether I'm lifted up and everything is all right, or if I'm brought down. One version says, I can be lifted up and not get in pride, and push down and not lose my heart. That's what we're going for, amen? To be content in whatever state we're in. So you can find contentment at home with the Father. That's how you are content, because he never changes. And whatever happens, he's there with you. No matter how bad it gets, you have somebody that's got your back. He's holding on to you. Whatever happens, and you can go to him. If you have a relationship with him, you just say, "Daddy, Daddy, I need you right now. Right now." You know, sometimes I hit my chest waiting for the anointing to activate. You're in there, Father. He's in there. He's on board right now. But if you're not calling, you're not talking to him, you don't know what he's trying to do for you in your life. And he's right there all the time. But he's not a gentleman. He's not going to bum rush you. He'll come in and help you. So look at your neighbor, because when you find contentment, say, "Come home." The other thing he said in that scripture, he wanted it all right now. He wanted it right now. But there's a scripture in Galatians says that let us not grow weary while doing good. Yes. They said in due season we shall reap if we do not faint or lose heart. See, don't get weary in doing right. Young ladies, don't get weary in waiting for God to bring you somebody and compromising your stance because it's not happening quick enough for you. Young men, don't get weary in doing that job that's beneath you because he's just preparing you for when you're the boss so you'll know how to treat somebody. Don't get weary. Just keep on doing good and knowing that your Father has you. So the other thing is people like to get away, just like this guy. They like to get away, you know, because they, and I know in every home things are not great. Sometimes things get rough. Sometimes things go on. But some people try to get away. Hear from God and go away if you need to, but don't get away. Because you know the bad thing about getting away? Wherever you go, there you are. You'll find it. If you mess up and you have problems here, you can go somewhere and you'll be happy about 10 minutes. You know, some people hop from church to church. Some of you been hopping around destiny, and you know you're supposed to be here. That's inspirational right there. I just said that. I wouldn't call you out like that. Pastor would, but I wouldn't. Because he's good. He's in this thing. He's got some years in this thing. But really, you know, I don't care, so I don't do this every week. I'm going to do what the Lord says. I'd rather him be okay with me than you. Stop hopping from place to place and church to church. You know, you can look at other things, but when God sends you somewhere and you know you're destiny people, because we know destiny people. Destiny, don't you know you're supposed to be in destiny? You know you got a destiny in your life, and you're going to find it through what the word we get here. You know. So if you're that, go on and get in with us. You know, get involved in stuff. Some of you get in, and you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to get involved. You don't want to meet nobody. You leave right after church. You need to get in and where you fit in. You know, I know when we came here, we were so tired of, you know, we went to a great church, but it was our time was up there, and this was almost 20 years ago, but we were so tired, you know, from all the work we were doing. We were at an even smaller church. We wore about 30 hats. We went to church on Sunday morning and had to go teach the youth on Sunday night. We were just tired. You know that song, I feel no ways tired. No, I felt tired. And so we came to dance and we didn't want to do nothing. So I know what you're going through. But listen, take a while to see, but then don't wait forever. Get in and help us. Because if you're talking to God, he's talking to you about something. And if you haven't found your destiny, it's probably because you haven't heard him talking to you about what you're supposed to do at church. Because you got to be able to hear, clean the bathrooms before you can hear, start a multi-million dollar company. I'm just telling you. Joseph was in prison before he went to the palace. The head, you know, second in command. He spent some time. Because in the trenches, you learn some things. In the trenches, anybody who's a soldier know in boot camp, you learn something that you're going to need later. You think they playing with you when they tell you to duck your head. You better learn how to duck when somebody tell you. In school, when they tell you study this and study that, they're not playing. You need to learn how to study that. You may never do geometry, but you got to learn what it takes to do geometry. You might never be a great piano player, guitar player when you take them lessons, but your work in learning the discipline of practice is going to help you somewhere else. Our daughter, we spent so much time on our younger daughter doing classical guitar. We thought she might study that in college. She didn't. But the meticulousness that she learned there helps her in her filmmaking she does now. So you need to learn those things and not just look for a change. And all of those things that I've talked about so far, let me tell you where you get it. And I want you to do your hands like this. Put your hands together like this. You know I'm going to make you do something. And open them up like that. And remember, just say the word. Because the word will keep you from being immature. If you read the Proverbs all the time, it's going to give you some wisdom beyond your years. If you read the Bible and listen to John, it's going to help you not want to just get away from things. It's going to help you be able to deal with things. The next thing that we want to talk about that people want to get away, notice the boy didn't say what he said to his father, what he said to his brother. But he wanted to get away. It's obviously he didn't understand something about relationships. Relationships, and like I said, this social stuff we have, you know, I do it as a part of the work that I do. But we have to learn how to sit in front of somebody and talk to them like humans did since the beginning of time. You have to learn how to do that. I don't know where I'm talking about Reagan so much, but when she was young, I mean, well, most of her life, she was, our oldest daughter was more like me. She's just really talkative and things like that. But our youngest daughter is not. She's what might be called an introvert. She gets her energy by being by herself. You know, that's where she gets her energy from. But if you ever saw me and Reagan walking through church and she would come up and maybe real reluctantly speak to you, that's because I said, you're going to have to learn how to talk to people. And I just walk on up and she's like, hey, how you doing? You doing okay today? And then next week it may be a little bit stronger. Because God knew in order to do what she does, she was going to have to learn how to network. She's a freelancer in the film industry, and you can't make no money just sitting in your bed. And now she's making money because she learned how to do that. But we all need to network more. You know, it's some young mothers who need some of these older mothers to show them what to do. It's some guys need some of these young guys need to show them how they need to treat their wives. It's some young people need to show some old people how to use their phone. You hear what I'm saying? We need relationships in here. We need relationships because that's how everything is done. And how are we going to take the world and help learn people about Jesus when we can't even help each other? Somebody who needs a job needs to talk to somebody in here, and at least if you don't know where a job is, you can tell them how to get a job. I'm serious. There's some simple things you know that can help somebody. Young man, iron your pants. You know what I'm saying? They don't really know that. You're going on a job interview. It's not casual Friday already, you know. We need to help each other. I want you to do something right now. If you're sitting by somebody, if you're a little bit away, just lock your arms with them right now. Just lock. Yeah, and if you're far away, just reach your hand out and touch. Just lock your arm. You feel how that feels? We need each other. We need to be locked together. You know, because the devil wants to tear us apart. The devil is trying to sow division. But the people of God are about unity and staying together and helping each other. You know, we wouldn't need no government programs if we would help each other. We need to link together and really help each other. Reach out to each other. Don't just leave church and don't know nobody's name. At least find somebody's name. You know, it doesn't take nothing to say, let's go to lunch. Your house doesn't have to be clean for that. See, the problem is we have so many converts and few disciples. We need to be reaching for each other and helping each other, loving on each other. So, you know, the problem is we're distracted by doing so many things. And all those things are going to be gone one day. And all those people are going to be in heaven or in hell. People are really what matters. And we get so distracted. We get disinterested. How many of you say to people, how you doing? And you don't really want them to answer. It's inconvenient to be in relationships. But you need it. We need to sow into each other. So let's talk about the value of gifts to people. Is that what we need to do is turn out. When I say turn out, when we have something at Destiny, come to it. When we have a homecoming, go to one thing for homecoming at A&T. Because you're in town, try something. We're in a college town, and you saying you bored and don't know what to do, or you working all the time. There are concerts here with students that it's going to cost you $100 to see tickets from them later, but right now you can see them for almost nothing, $10. My oldest daughter, worked on a cruise ship, and you're going to have to pay some money to go see her when she was working there. And now she raised the price. She's in London doing stuff, so you're going to really have to pay some money. But you could have seen her at Elon for $10. No, I'm serious. We have to turn out and do some things, and there's so many things here with five colleges or more in town. It's concerts you can go to that are free. The Eastern Music Festival brings people from all over the world, and you may not have even ever gone to a concert at Guilford College. These are world-class musicians. Some of them are students who are getting ready to be world-class musicians, and you can go see some of these concerts for free. So turn out. The other thing you're going to have to do is turn off, because it's easy to Netflix and chill. It's easy to turn on the TV and watch every night. But you're not going to have no relationship if all your only friend is the people on Black-ish or whatever you watch. They're your only friends. The people on the Tyler Perry story or something like that. You know everything about their life. Child, you see what she did? See what she did? And you don't even know what your neighbor did. So turn out, turn off, try out. Try something new. Try something new. We have people in here that are doing some phenomenal things. We have a couple in here that has a plan where they help you lose weight and things like that and have shakes and stuff like that. And you might not even know what they're doing. We have people, we have the Golden Senior Class. I know you might not be a senior, but Julie, who's a professional at one of the highest cost leadership training programs in the world, came and taught a class there. But if you missed it, you have to go pay them thousands of dollars to take a class from her, and here was free. So sometimes you're gonna have to try something new out. Next, you're gonna have to turn up. Have fun. Go do something. Don't just stay at home. Next, tune in. When I say tune in, really listen to people. That's something my wife is good at. Pastor Rhonda is just good at listening because she cares about what people say and what they're doing. That's the secret. I was wondering what the secret was, but she really cares what happened. I mean, I'm like, you really want to hear that? I'm like, cool. And so I've learned to start listening more. Listen to people, really see what's on their heart. You know, we had somebody that used to go to this church, great person, and I'm not going to, you know, even say their name or whatever, but they don't really care. But what they said is this person got sick. And you know that we believe in faith. We believe in people getting healed by faith. And he told me, though, one thing about destiny, when I told people that I was sick, they kept saying, oh, you, Lord's going to take care of that, brother. That's not a problem. God's going to help you. You're going to get healed. That's not a problem. He said, it would be good if somebody asked me how I was feeling, how I was doing, or I'm sorry you're going through this. Let's really tune in and listen to people. And so look at your neighbor and say, come home. Now, I'm going to talk to some people who've been sitting here, and you're saying, I do all that. I'm on this D team, and on that D team, I'm a D team hero. I volunteer on this day, and this day, and I read the Proverbs every day. This is for you. Because remember the guy, he had two sons. And I just want to tell you, both of them was lost. It's not just the one we think about. He was lost too. Let's read from him what the older brother said, Luke 15:28. Okay, remember his brother had just come home, father thrown a party for him. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. Some of you are like that. You feel unappreciated. You feel like, you know, nobody cares about you. You feel like you've been doing good, but still your dreams hadn't come through. You feel like, I read this book and I read this book, but I still haven't gotten the things that I'm supposed to get yet that God said he was going to give me. I've been giving, but I haven't receive what I thought I was supposed to get. You know, you may have been giving and you may not have gotten sick. And if you got sick and it cost money, that is a harvest that came to you that you didn't know about. You may be giving and your microwave hadn't broken yet. Your refrigerator is still working. You don't see that's God holding back what was wrong in your life so that he could bless you. Sometimes we don't see what God is doing right in front of us. We're saying we didn't get the promotion, but our kids are all right. We are saying that, you know, I've been trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to fulfill my destiny, and nothing has happened. But you sleeping in a home. You getting up every day. You got people around you that love you. And you don't see the harvest in that. And if you're not careful, you won't look at that, and you may lose something that you were ignoring. So the other brother was angry and wouldn't go in. Therefore, his father came out. Let me tell you, your father will come out for you. And he pleaded with him. Let's go to the next. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time." See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you said. "I've been doing right. I've been doing all that I know to do. And I still haven't," blah, 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 whatever yours is. He said, "I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends." He said, "But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for that joker." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." What God is telling you, all that he has is yours. He's been blessing you. You've been missing it. He's got stuff that's on the way. He's waiting for you to just maneuver a few things before it happens. You know, God has to work with people. And if you ever work with people, you know that sometimes they don't do right. And even God can't change that. God has to work with people, and sometimes he's told somebody to come and help you and they said no. Or he's told you to go help somebody and you didn't do it. You didn't have time. He may have even told you to, on Wednesday night when the children of heaven, hallelujah, I need to go over there and volunteer. And then you thought better of it. They still need volunteers. I'm for real, y'all. I mean, you know, you want to preach, but you can't preach to those little kids. God may be waiting for you to see what your sermon is like to the little kids before he sees what your sermon is like up here. We done preached to a lot of little kids before I ever got up here. Your kids. See, it's people over there now not hearing the word because they're taking care of your kids. Now, I'm not trying, where is this coming from? I'm not trying to fuss at y'all. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not, Pastor Joe is nice. He loves you. Maybe that's why the Lord figures he can use me, because he know I'm not mad at you. And I'm not trying to hurt you, but God is saying, come home. Look at your neighbor and say, come home, come home. Rhonda, Pastor Rhonda when she was doing the tithe and offer, she used the scripture, and I didn't give it to y'all. It was when Jesus is in Revelations talking to the church, and he says, "I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how can it bear them with our evil, and thou hast tried them with, say, the apostles, and has found them liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake thou hast labored." That's a lot of you guys. You have labored. You know, when pastor even mentions something new, what you think in your heart, oh, here we go with something new again. I just learned this. We just started doing this. I remember we did something else and we stopped that. I don't know if I want to do it this time. It's too quiet. That must be somebody. Just look ahead and you won't know. I won't know the Lord's talking to you. Just keep looking ahead and smiling. Okay. So he said, Jesus ended this thing with, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." You remember how you was when you first got saved. You remember how you were when you first received the Holy Spirit. You remember how you were when you first came to Destiny. You're all excited. Somebody say something wrong to you in the parking lot, you leave and don't say nothing. Don't do that. Because a church is full of imperfect people. Just like me, just like you. And let's come together. I like what Paul said. He said, "Now we see no man after the flesh." See, you got to look at people and say, you know, their personality may rub you wrong, but that's somebody that Jesus died for. That little kid is just don't have any home training. You may need to give that kid a hug so he knows somebody loves him. You may say, "That lady is always complaining." You may need to listen to her so she knows somebody cares what she's going through. Let me say that again. You may need to listen to her for real. You may need to help somebody and volunteer. Somebody just started a business. You may need to volunteer in their business so when it's your time, somebody will volunteer in yours. That's how God made us to fit together. Okay, so what I'm saying to the older sons, come home. Older son, come home. And so what I'm going to talk about now, you heard of Jeho. This is Jehi, the greatest homecoming in God's heaven. And let's go to Luke 15 and 14. He said, "About the time, but when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Keep going. "Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his field to feed the swine. And go to the next one. And it says, "But when he came to himself." Sometimes, y'all, we got to come to ourselves. You know, sometimes when things are going wrong, just come to yourself. Sometimes it's a wake-up call when you run into something. Just come to yourself. And he thought about his father. He thought about his father. You need to think about what your father really wants to do with you. He's got something for you. He wants to take you where you want to go. He's got something in your heart, but he's trying to get you there. I'm not saying anything that goes wrong, he orchestrated, but he can take the what's wrong and make it right. He can turn your test into a testimony. He can turn your mess into a message. Because Because when I was in that mess that I told you about, and my father loved on me, you know, when I fast forwarded back to when I Rhonda and I met in homecoming, I at that point in time, everything wasn't right. My finances were still messed up from the divorce I was in. I was still carrying more weight than I wanted to, and things like that. But because I spent time with God, I was good on the inside. I felt good about myself because I knew God loved me. Not everything is right. I could be honest with her and tell her, hey, this is where I am, this is what's going on. But I was all right because of the love of the Father. And that's what's going to help you too. We're going to skip ahead because he that doesn't preach too long gets to preach again. Let me see. Bobby, you proved that out on Wednesdays. Good job. Good job, man. So it says, when he finally came to himself, and go to the next one. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, and he rehearsed the speech that he was going to say, go to the next one. So when he returned home to his father, and he was still a long way off. See, you may feel like you're a long way off from God. You might feel like God is mad at you, but I'm going to tell you today, God is not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. His father saw him coming. Your father sees you. You may feel like nobody understands you, but your father sees you. He made you. He put what's in you full of glory. And he wants that glory to come out of you. Your father sees you. And it says he was filled with love and compassion. God is filled with love and compassion for you. That just doesn't mean he loves you and that's it. It means he loves and he cares what's going on in your life. He cares about all the little things. And he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. At homecoming yesterday, we saw a lot of people with hugs and kisses. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father does that for us. My wife calls it, Pastor Rhonda calls it, a heavenly hug and a kingdom kiss. Don't miss the heavenly hugs and kingdom kisses. When you're going around the parking lot, and then a parking space just opens up in the front, that's a kingdom kiss right there. Ladies, when you're shopping for something and you can't find what you want, you're about to leave the store and something says, look over to your left. And that's the pair of shoes that they accidentally marked down too low and you take them up to the front. See? You got a tag on them. See? That's a heavenly hug right there. Don't miss the heavenly hugs and the kingdom kisses when you don't know why you met somebody and you end up doing business because you met them. Don't miss it when you're in the right place at the right time because you have the right God and you're in your right mind. Don't miss the heavenly hugs and kingdom kisses. So just to summarize, right now, it's three things I want you to take away. First, look at your neighbor on somebody you haven't looked at yet and say, come home. So it's three things you have to have for a great homecoming. You have to have a common frame of reference. You have to have positive relationship and connection. And you have to do some hugging and kissing. Those are three things for a great homecoming. So our common frame of reference, do this again, is the Word of God. That's what we have in common. It don't work different from him than it worked different from you. It doesn't work different from Pastor Joel Osteen than it does from you. It works the same. So that's our common frame of reference. The next thing that we have is positive relationships and connections. And hook up one more time for me. Come on, hook your arms in. I want you to remember this. Make a connection with somebody. Make a connection. Let's make a connection here. Let's make a connection in your neighborhood. Let's make a connection at your kid's school. And then do this. Kiss, and then put it on your heart because he's inside you. Recognize all the kingdom kisses and the heavenly hugs that God has given to you every day. What one of the things me and my wife say at the end of the day is we say, how has God favored you today? And it forces you to think about those things that you maybe have missed. So ask your spouse, or just ask yourself, how has God favored me today? Because he has. So we're gonna close down now, but I want you to come home today. I want you to come home if you feel like you're doing everything right. Come home and get closer to the Father. I want you to come home. Maybe if you've never been born again, you can come home, and today you can be in God's family. I want you to come home if you're not doing anything in church. Come home and contribute your gifts right here and watch God use them everywhere.